This morning's message coming from the book of Jeremiah 49th chapter, 1st through the 2nd verse, 2 Samuel 10th, 11th, 12th chapter in the book of Chronicles. And it's about Ammon, the cruelty of the Ammonites. But along with that, it's also about us as people, the church, which we don't look into. Cruelty is one that likes to inflict pain or distress upon others, and we should see cruelty as it is. And this morning's sermon title is A Man of Blood. We're going to talk about David this morning, because of David is a type and shadow, but we see a lot of us use the name of David. But David is just like a lot of us. We may be people after God's own heart. But like Judah and a lot of the people in the church, they think that places them above others. And I tell you, church people, as I said before, some of the most cruel people, the most heartless people there are, because they lack examining themselves. They become self-righteous. They do unto others that they never would dare for people to do unto them. They mistreat others and speak and say some of the most vile, cruel, heartbreaking thing to others, not considerate of other people. They don't even want to hear what your excuse is. They don't even consider that you may be having problems or misunderstandings as they are. We'll see that with our king this morning, King David. God had already said that he was going to punish the Ammonites. He was going to punish Ammon. We talked about Ammon Wednesday night, and we studied about Ammon. And in book Jeremiah, he says, the 49th chapter, 1st through 6th verses says, concerning the Ammonites, thus saith the Lord, had Israel no sons, had he no heir, why then doeth their king inherit? Gad and his people dwell in his cities. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. How do Heshbon for Ai is spoiled? Cry, ye daughters of Rabbah, gird you with sackcloth, lament and run to and fro by the hedges. For their king shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes together. Wherefore, glory is thou in the valleys, thy flowing valley, O backsliding daughter, thy trusted in her riches, her saying, who shall come unto me? Behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all of those that be about thee, and ye shall be driven out, every man right forth, and none shall gather up him that wandereth, and afterward I would bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. Here we see where God's going to punish Ammon, because they're dwelling in places of Israel where they shouldn't be. Remember that God had told the children of Israel that he wasn't going to give them of Ammon's land, that to pass by the Ammonites, don't bother them, because those was Lot's generation, and that he wasn't going to allow them to inherit their land. But things went about, and we'll talk about that in a week to come, that they wasn't where God had given them or placed them to be. And a lot of us are not where God wants us to be, not where God had given us to inherit that which we should be laboring for. And they were hostile toward Israel, and a lot of times they inflicted cruel and fierce punishment upon them. And God wrote this, and this was to Israel, but it was about Ammon. Why would he be preaching to Israel or Judah about Ammon? Because he wants us to know that just as he judged the world, he judges the church first. These characteristics that are in others are just as vile if they're within us. So we have to purge ourselves and get these things out of us. And a lot of times, looking at different things and looking at people, we can see others sin, but we can't see that we just as bad or worse than others because we got that beam in our own eyes. We love calling people names or talking about people or slandering people or holding people to standards, judging others, but yet we do the same thing. We're worse than they are. That's what James was talking about at the council that they had in Jerusalem. Why should we hold the Gentiles to standards of the law that we couldn't keep? That says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie. But we get mad somebody lied to us. We get mad somebody kill and tell them about covetousness and everything. But we covet. We covet other people's wives. We see where David coveted Uriah's wife. He committed adultery with Uriah's wife. But he still would want to judge other people. You'll lie. You didn't hold what you told me or whatever. Well, it may have been a reason that person lied to you. It may be a reason that person was. But we're so cruel and hurtful, we wouldn't want people to talk to us like that. When Nathan told David about what he had did, and he used that parable about the man had did that, David said, that man shall die. That man shall surely die who did this. With a judgment upon the man who had stole the lamb, was that he would restore fourfold. But it wasn't the death penalty, but David wanted this man to die. But when Nathan told him it was him, that's when he wanted God to be merciful unto him. We talk about other people's children, but if it's our children, we kind of want to glaze that over or look that over. You see, we have a problem in that we can't get these things out of us. David was a man after God's own heart, but David had his flaws and faults, the reason we don't look up to other men and we don't compare ourselves with others. We see where our reading scripture came from the book of Proverbs from Agur, and it was a wise man, and he had said, there is a class of people who appear in their own eyes and yet are not washed from their own filth. Talking about the church would have to be. Talking about the Pharisaical church. The church think they're more righteous than the people out there, but they hadn't allowed the word of God to wash them from their filth. They hadn't been washed, sanctified, and set apart by the word of God. They've been consecrated. They've been set apart for God's use, but they hadn't allowed the word to apply to them. They hadn't become doers of God's word. You have to let the word wash you and cleanse you. Then you can see clearly to take that mold out of your brother's eye. It starts with gossip and tale bearing, how this episode begun. This episode begun when David had compassion, and he, like a lot of us Christians, we always want to do something good for someone. When Nahash, we don't know what Nahash did, because Nahash was a cruel Ammonite. That's the one that told Saul, had told the people of Jabesh Gilead that if they would surrender to him, he wouldn't do anything to them. But what they would have to do is, so he wouldn't come in and conquer them, they would have to allow him to gouge out their right eyes. He would have to gouge. If you read the Dead Sea Scrolls, there's a whole lot in there about gouging out eyes and the travesties that was done. And a lot of in Book of Amos say how the Ammonites ripped up the babies inside of the children of Israel and Judah. How they threshed them with instruments of iron. Cruelty. But that's how this nation is. You see, in that Iraq war, we did some terrible atrocities. We used waterboard torture and all that. Now Vice President Cheney said it wasn't torture. You see, we violated articles of the Geneva Conventions before our own security and safety. We've become as those that we persecute, that we talk about. We've done the same thing that Russia's doing in Crimea. We've done it to other nations. It's just that when somebody else do it, we're so appalled. It's so demonistic. We demonize those people. But we do the same thing ourselves. There's a nation that's cleansed, appear in their own eyes, but they're not washed from their own filth. How about our backyard? Have we cleaned it up? Gossip and talking and tale-bearing, all this comes about. That's what we're going to talk about first. Let's look at that. It comes from the book of 2 Samuel 10th chapter, 1 through the 5th verse. It says, later the king of the Ammonites died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, son of Nahash, as his father did to me. So David sent his servants to console him for his father's death, and they came into the land of the Ammonites. But the princes of the Ammonites said to Hanun, their lord, do you think that it is because David honors your father that he has sent comforters to you? Has he not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, spy it out, overthrow it? So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half their beards and cut off their garments in the middle at the hips and sent them away. When it was told David, he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. Then the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards are grown and then return. You attempt to do good for a person, then evil is right there present. David is trying to do some good here. The evil that was present, watch it inside of David, but it was at Ammon's right hand, that his men, his advisors, and people around him gave him bad advice. How many times people around us tell us or attribute other things to other people, that accuser of the brethren tell somebody, well, the reason they're doing this is that a child, she just doing this. We give wrong causes. We say things or attribute things to others, and we become accuser of the brethren. We give imply other motives to other people that are not there, but that comes from deep within. That's something inside you that's causing or motivate you to think like that. Because Peter says, to the pure, all things are pure. Now, that's one man that got his house in order. He really got cleaned up. He was a different person, if you read 1 and 2 Peter, than he had been throughout his entire life. But the Spirit that did that to Peter. And the Spirit has to do that to us. It has to change us. So the accuser of the brethren, they said, well, David's conspired the land. David was showing kindness, but they took it and insulted his men. Have you ever tried to do something good for somebody, but maybe something prevented you, but that person insulted you or called you all kinds of names? That's how they did Jesus Christ. He came down to die for man. He was trying to die for these people. He was living for these people, but they attributed, they called him Beelzebub. I want to do something good for you, and I'm trying, but I can't do it, and you want to holler and curse me. You want to call me all kinds of names and things. I'm trying to do good for you. A lot of time a parent do good for the child, loving the child, and the child say, you're just trying to interfere in my life. You want to run my life. You want to pick my friends. You want to control me. You want to do this, and you're trying to help that person. That hurts you worse. That's cruel to make statements like that. That's cruel to attribute something to someone that's trying. And then they take pleasure in saying things. I got them told. And I just, see, we get angry too quick. We get mad at people too quick. But those are signs of non-believers. Those are signs that something in us hadn't came to where we can be angry and sin not. We're not controlled by our own impulses. We had mortified the body. We allowing sin to reign in our body where we would obey it in the lust thereof. Here's this man. Here he attributed that to David, and he caused a war to evolve. Here David went to war with the Ammonites over there because he had insulted his people. He had turned to do him evil when David had gave him good. A lot of this is in the Psalms about rewarding evil for good when somebody attempt to do you good. But see, what we have to learn is that it's not the people that we're warring against. We have to learn how to fight. It's not just flesh and blood that we're going to war with. These are spiritual wickedness. This is power. This is not the Old Testament. That was wrote for our example. That was written for our admonition. We are to learn from it, of people's mistakes and people's, what we say, victories. There are some victories, but sometimes we have to look inside those. So David and Joab were skilled fighters. and were skilled fighting men, and they were skilled warriors. A lot of us in the church aren't skilled warriors. We hadn't been going to church, and we hadn't let the Spirit work through us. We've been allowing other people to motivate us to speak things that really they don't know what they say themselves. They may be in Scripture or whatever, but they're not skilled in the use of the word, and they do more harm than good. They do more harm than good, and we, like a lot of young believers, we're not skilled in the word. And you could be in the church 30 or 40 years and not be a skilled believer because you're not putting the word to use. You have the wrong people in and around you. You have the wrong associates, wrong spirits in there, grouped around you. This war that we're in, we have to be careful. We have to learn to strengthen others, even if it's no more than a word of comfort or pointing out others' flaws, you know, pointing out that person's flaws who we're talking to about. And what happens is we're not learning these lessons. And David here, the Ammonites, that when we fight evil hard enough, sometimes we become evil as those that we're fighting. Well, we have to remember that we have dual natures. That there is a fleshly nature that when we attempt to do good, evil is there. And I told you, it's in Ephesians. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Let's put that a little bit closer in the Amplified Version. It says, "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood." Now, be careful, because it says, "contending only with physical opponents." Sometimes the opponents are physical, that people allow themselves to be used by satanic forces and not even know it. That's the reason God told Abraham to get away from around his kindred, because your kindred may be doing good things. People want to do good things for you, but it's not right. They don't understand or they don't know that. And we're harder on the world. We're harder on some people in the world, and not knowing that these people don't know the left from the right. They're not spiritual people. They make promises, they make vows that they can't fulfill, but we are to look at them and have compassion upon that those people. We're to behave differently, because it's the wickedness of the spiritual power that's in or controlling that person. It says, "But against despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." That's a supernatural spirit. It's a supernatural realm. That's why I said a lot of people that watch shows like, say, Oprah Winfrey or whatever, that spirit's hovering over you. Those Christians, no strong Christians can be watching shows like that and be strong in the church or strong in the world. When you allow that kind of stuff to come into your house, because she's not a God follower, and that spirit will make a familiar spirit to you that you're not going to become equipped as a good warrior. Be careful what you let your ears hear. Be careful of the things around you, or the people around you, or what you entertain, or you become partakers of their sin. Don't become partakers of another man's sin. But we see where David set and Joab went there, and Joab set the battle in array. And Joab was a smart general, and he went around there, and he encompassed them about. He encompassed them, and the church has to set the battle in array. We have to fight against the forces out there. We have to be active and not passive. We have to attack the enemy as Christ went out attacking the enemy. The battle is the Lord's, and he wants us to use our bodies as living sacrifices to go out there and do the work of God. Now, it's going to set you up to be a prey of the world, but you have to remember the battle is the Lord's. Listen to Joab here. Starts at the 11th verse. It says, "Joab said, 'If the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the Ammonites is too strong for you, I'll come and help you. Be of good courage, Let us play the man for our people and the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what he seems good to him. See, he had a plan that if I'm weak over here and I can't do anything, you see your brother in need, give him help. If you see him in a sin not unto death, you should offer love and kindness, and that'll cover a multitude of sin, and it'll save your brother. You should exhort one another. You should strengthen each other. See, that's what Peter didn't realize. Peter was in the flesh, and Satan was working on him. He didn't know it was Satan working on him, even though he was working with Jesus. See, we're to comfort others with the comfort that we're comforted. See, but he wasn't comforted with the comfort that we're comforted with at that time. Peter was still in the world. Let's read it. It's in the book of Luke. It says, Luke, the 22nd chapter, 31st through the 32nd verse, and it says, Simon, Simon Peter, listen, Satan has as excessively that all of you. He has asked, he says, listen, Satan have asked, I don't know how many times, that you be given unto him. In other words, that I would take you from out of the borders of God. Remember I was preaching about the borders of God. In other words, that I will allow you to be tempted, that you would come from under my umbrella, my refuge, my fortress, and be protected. You remember Peter did that a couple of times by talking and saying different things. We can use our mouth. That tongue can get you, it'll kindle a world of fire. You could be tempted from under God. You can be moved. And Satan kept desiring Peter. And he wanted to sift Peter like wheat, what it was. He says that he might sift you like grain, just like wheat, just tear you apart. The things in your life, the circumstances, the little things that come into your life, the things, the nuances that other people say and think, all those people are helping to get you away from God. You have to realize that, no, this, I'm walking circumspect. I have to be careful of all things. And he says, Jesus says, but I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. God's faith cannot fail, but that your own faith cannot fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. That's the flesh talking. But Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, before a single cock crow, this night you shall deny me three times that you ever known me. And he said to them, when I sent you out with no purse or provision, bag or sandals, did you lack anything? They answered, nothing. Then he said to them, but now let him who has a purse take it, and also his provision bag. Let him has no sword, sell his mount and buy a sword. What are we talking there? He's not talking about a physical sword. I told you, we need to be spiritual and we need to be physical. Don't go out with the weapons of this warfare. Peter wanted to go out with a sword and die for the Lord. That wasn't the way to die for the Lord. The way he was going to have to die for the Lord was kicking and screaming for his life. They was going to crucify him upside down because he had presented his body as a living sacrifice. But the sword he told him to take and buy was with his life, with his toil, with doing the word of God by presenting his body a living sacrifice. By studying the word of God, that was going to become his sword. Using the word of God, that's what you buy. And those that are ignorant and squander away their time and everything, they're the five foolish. That didn't trim their lamps, that didn't study the word of God, that didn't learn to fight a spiritual fight. They so used to protecting themselves, they so used to reviling other people, saying back to people, cutting and hating and cruel stuff, they just as bad as the people they're fighting. David was the same way. He was just as bad as the men he was fighting, or worse. He was a cruel man. Just like a lot of us Christians are cruel people and not even looking at it. So that's what he was telling Peter. He says, Peter, you know not what you're saying here. A lot of us know not what we're doing. You want to come in the church and bring these Balaam tactics in the church. I see it every day on the news. I see it in life. I just see the Christians in this nation, the most hateful, one of the most hateful nations, most hateful Christians there are. They have it ingrained in them. That's why it says the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Joab was dedicated to David. He was very dedicated. And Joab ended up taking the city. But he didn't completely take that city. He was careful. Joab was a careful man. Joab, after he got the city beat to where he wanted it beat at, then he sent for David to come and capture that city because they had made David mad. Watch it when you get mad. It tells us about being mad. David had become a little bit older, not too old that he couldn't do what was wrong. Those Christians have to be careful because you never get too old to do what's wrong. And all your righteousness will be forgotten what you've done. David forgot what man of man he was. How many of us examining ourselves and examining what we tell other people, examining our actions and what we do to other people, examining our thought life of what we think? That's why I keep consistently telling you, examine yourself. And this church is have a problem with proud people. This church have a problem with people that's not examining themselves. David. What was David doing? Why he wasn't at the battle? Because they had captured Joab. If you read it there, Joab in the 10th, 28th chapter of Chronicles in the 2nd Samuel. 12th chapter. Joab had brought the city to his knees. He was about to capture it, and he didn't want it to be named after him. But where was David? Let me read what David was then. 2 Samuel 11th chapter. In the springs, when kings go to battle, when the church is out there fighting, and a lot of us, instead of out there witnessing about God or living for God, we're watching Oprah. We're watching some of the televangelists. We're there gossiping about something that happened last week. We're watching some sitcom or some sitcom. Instead of studying our word, we're not at the battle. This is a 24/7 battle. We're gossiping. We're doing something we shouldn't be doing. That's what David was doing. The kings had went to war. David should have been on the front line. That's the time it says when kings go to war. David had sent somebody. Send your tithes to church. Well, why you ain't at church, though? Say, tell them to pray for me. I'm praying. Why you not here, though? You had something else to do. Something was more important than this. You couldn't put your schedule around this. Look like everything should schedule around this instead of this scheduling around everything else, or this being put on the back burner. David had put the work of God on the back burner. David sent Joab with his servants and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, when from there he saw a woman bathing, and she was very lovely to behold. They fighting, and he's back here in his castle, eyeing one of the men that's out there fighting his wife. We Christians don't covet, and we don't commit adultery. He eyeing Uriah's wife. He gets her pregnant, and then send for the husband, and because the husband want to stay and fight the battle to help him to stay safe, he murders this guy. He kills Uriah with the sword of the cruel Ammonites. Who's the most cruel? The people that are fighting and defend themselves, or the king that sent one of his men to be killed by these other men? Isn't he much worse? David suffered for that. David sent and inquired about Bathsheba, and he was inquiring about the battle. But after he got her pregnant, you know, it's us, we conceive. We slick. That's what Christians are. They wise. And he says, listen at this. How can I do this? He won't sleep with his wife. He won't go back to fight. Verse 15 says, and he wrote in the letter, put Uriah in the front line of the heaviest fighting and withdraw from him that he may be struck down. What is God doing? God's sitting up there looking and saying, isn't this something? I've given him everything. He has, I don't know, countless numbers of wives already, but he takes one of his most valiant soldiers' wives and then kills her. Kills him. Has him murdered. We better walk circumspectly. We better be careful of our own self and the evil we're fighting. This battle he's fighting because he had been made shame, because he had was trying to do good and evil came from it, but he's done went to evil tactics himself. 1 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, tells us about that. 1 Chronicles said, and it came to pass that after the year was expired, at the time when kings go out to battle, Joab led forth the power of the army and wasted the country of the children of Ammon, and came and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried at Jerusalem, and Joab smote Rabbah and destroyed it. And David took the crown of the king from the crown of their king from off his head, and found it to weigh a talent of gold, and there were precious stones in it. It was set up on David's head, and he brought also exceeding much spoil out of the city. And he brought out the people. He brought forth out of the people that were in the city, and cut them with saws and with harrows of iron and with axes. Even so, David dealt with all the cities of the children of Ammon, and all the people returned to Jerusalem. And the 31st verse says, and he brought forth the people that were therein, and put them in there. Put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron, and made them pass through the brick kilns. And thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. Now they're saying, a lot of commentators and people saying that he put them to work in here. Well, whenever we see the word pass through in other sections of the Bible, just like they made them pass through the fire, that was put them in the fire. David burned these people in the brick kiln. He cut them with saws. He really did some heinous things, just like I said the United States did in this Iraq war, that the United States did to some governments, as our leaders do. And we're supposed to be the humanitarians, and this is what we're doing to people. Sometime with the worst evils in our mind, while doing the worst evils, David comes from lying in a bed with a woman, an adulterous affair, murdering this woman's husband because he had gotten her pregnant. Joab says, come on, let's finish fighting these people that we say are hostile, that are cruel people, and let's get this battle so you'll get the credit. You didn't do the fight. It's a lot of people want to come in the church. They don't pay tithes. They don't serve God. They out there run their mouths and do other things. They don't give offerings to God, but they want all the credit on Easter and Christmas of being a Christian, and we know God. But they're out there doing everything else during the year, idolatrous practices and things. David was doing these things, and then look at the torture, the havoc he wrecked up on these people, because that's in his own mind, that's with what him. If he was of a pure mind, he wouldn't think this way. He could have put him under tribute. He could have put him under hard labor. But he didn't have to kill him that way. There's a humane way to kill people. That's what they say about the death penalty. Sometimes we can do things in an inhumane way. There are people that show cruelty to animals. We have people in this city and throughout the nation that's out there in dog fighting, cock fighting. Oh, this is inhumane. This is cruelty. God had given us the dominion, but he didn't give it to us to abuse us. Oh, you marry a man's daughter, he's giving you a bride. He's giving you a wife to love and cherish. He's not giving you someone to go out there and kill her, kill her son, to beat her, to have domestic violence and do all this, to treat them cruelly, to not feed them, to spend the money, to throw it away. This is cruel. And it's taking pleasure in this cruelty because I'll do what I want to do. I'm the man here. I'm the woman. I'm in charge here. This is cruel. Somebody, you put in authority. A lot of churches, pastors are put in authority. They make the people pay tithes, offering. They got a collection for this, collection for the first lady. They want to buy a car. They want to take up the pastor's anniversary, the pastor this and that. And they're skinning the people blind. The people don't even have food in their refrigerators. The people can't get decent things dear to their home. But God says the pastors are not feeding the flock. They're stripping them. They're eating the meat from between the hooves. That person has one more penny that I need to get out of them. So I'll produce a tape that I preach. Now, if I preach this tape, that's supposed to be church merchandise. But most preachers benefit from videotape and these other ministers in the church. They're selling it. These things that they supposedly was preaching freely, they're selling it to the even members of their congregation. And they're benefiting to build their houses, to live good, to ride good. These are things that you're using God's resource. This is cruel. And the people want to do things to satisfy the church. And in their ignorance, without learning to war, not knowing how to war, they can't say no to some things. If you live the way God said live, you'll have more abundance than you can spend. Moses and them had to tell the people to stop bringing things to the church. There's no reason. If something's wrong in your life, check and examine yourself. It may be your own cruelty. It may be the way you live. The problem was with David. God came down to David and he told David about this. We have to watch the judgments of God. We have to watch doing the work of God that we don't become as they become. And David was a man of blood, so we don't want to be able to not come into the church. If I'm building here, I can't get so busy that I'm ignoring God. That's what David had done. David got ready to build the temple. God said, I can't do that, David. I don't want the, even the Pharisees knew that they couldn't take the money that they had given the Jews. They gave him this money. Now, this is how money is. It was good money when they gave it to him, was it? Or was that some of the money that they had gotten as being money changers, and they used this same crooked money for crooked gain? They told Judas, we can't put this in the treasury. That's blood money. That's when they bought the potter's field with it. Some churches are taking money from gambling, prostitution, and all that, putting it in the church coffers. Some pastors will tell you, if you win that money at the boat, bring it in here. I don't tell you that. Because the Bible tells you, bring not the hire of a dog into the house of the Lord. Don't bring unrighteous gain here. When David was at the end of his career and he was talking, in the book of 1 Chronicles, the first verse of the 28th chapter, it says, David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel and of all the tribes, the officers of the division of the divisions that served the king in his courses, and those over thousands and hundreds, and the stewards over all the property and livestock of the king and his sons, with the palace officers, the mighty men, and all the mighty men of war. Then David the king rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. I myself intended to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as a footstool for our God, and I prepared materials for the building. But God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name and my presence, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. We're going to sleep on the church too much. We're going to sleep on God in our living and in our way. We can't be aware of what we're doing. We're walking dead. We're walking unconscious. David had been walking and living such a life. Such a life with the presence of the world that he wasn't allowed to build God's house. We're supposed to be a lively stone. We're supposed to be building the house of God. We're supposed to be stones within that temple. But because of other loves or pleasures and things, we're in the church sleep and dead. God won't have that. You can't build this house, David. You're a man of blood. He had told him, because you had did this to Uriah, you blaspheming in the name of God and cause it to be spoken ill. What are you doing out there? What are you doing to be have God's name that you're not glorifying God's name? Do people see the way you're living at home? Do people see all these other things in life and it's not glorifying God, the reason that you can't have people flowing into the church, the reason you're not bringing forth fruit? Are you just here? Are you doing something for God that you can see God working in your life and that you're establishing something? Or are you going to be told like David, you can't build my house, you're a man of blood. For this reason, David, the sword will never depart from your house. You can't make a decision with your children. They're raping one another. They're killing one another. You're a man of blood, David. We're cruel. And we don't understand that because we want to preach to others that they are cruel, that the world is cruel. If this is written to the church, we should be studying it and applying to us if we are the church. Because you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, long as that dwells in you, and that's the controlling factor in you, and you're not examining yourself and putting yourself to death. You want to live. And you want everybody else to see you living. But the pastor's here to teach you. When the children of Israel were all killed in the wilderness, God realized, I have to leave the enemies here. I have to leave death in the land. That's why when Jesus left, that's why he didn't put away death. Death is the last enemy. I got to have something for you to have a worldly fear of also. He left the Philistines in the land. In the book of Judges, he says, now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. In other words, test them. The things that are in the world, your wives, your children, your job, all these things are proving whether or not you'll serve God or you'll serve those things. He left them there. He says, only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them the war, at least as such before knew nothing of it. You didn't know nothing about it. Now you've come into the church, and I don't want your blood on my hands. I don't want to be a man of blood. I want your blood to be on your own hand. If you bust hell wide open, I want it to be your own fault. I've been and told you that you're not living right. You're not examining yourself. If you're sitting in church going to hell, it won't be my fault. He says, I appointed you a watchman. And you were to go and tell them, Ezekiel. And if you tell them and warn them that I see your life, I see you loving too much. I see you living too much and that you need to die to self. You need to present your body as a living sacrifice. There are things that are in your body that you need to mortify those members. Now I have to be just like I just now told you now. I can't be another David and persecuting you with these words and don't let it apply to me. It has to be a double-edged sword. It has to cut this way also. See, it should apply to me as well as to you. So when you're witnessing to somebody, when you call in this church name, make sure you didn't wash the blood off your hands. Make sure that your wife, that your children, that your job isn't causing you to die and go to hell. You make sure you're in control of it. David wasn't in control here. God was in control, and he didn't give God the glory. He was giving himself the pleasures of this life. He wasn't showing himself. Joab showed himself more of a leader here because he didn't want the name. He said, David, you can have the name if you come get this city. They had did the work. It had failed, and David treated it lightly with contempt. And when he told Joab, say, well, didn't you know not to go close to the city? He says, but Bahri Uriah is deaf. He read that. He kind of added as just an add-on that, well, that must be blood spilling a war. These things happen. How do you have a war against a nation for oil and for money. You leave office, nobody hear about you anymore. You can't say that you did wrong invading this country, that this country didn't have anything to do with 9/11, that it was because of your intent, your motives, all these women that buried their children. My son fought in that war. He wasn't quite the same when he come home. How about the Iraqis? They said that they wasn't counting Iraqi casualties. How do you go in a country, seize that country, kill all of those people, kill their leader, and then you not count them? Would they not worthy of being counted? That then you will go teach investment seminars? That you will say torture is not torture? And that you go waterboard people? You know what waterboarding is? It's when you lay someone down, put a towel or something over the face, pour water, it seems as though that person is suffocating or drowning. Here we are holding people in detention in Guantanamo Bay, treating them any kind of way, will not allow them access even to pray to their God. And we supposed to be Christians? Look at yourselves, what you have become in the name of your God. Didn't God tell us this in the book of Revelation? He said, well, time will come when men will kill you and say they're doing God a favor. That's for their own purposes, for their own gain. Just as cruel. People saying, well, I wouldn't serve a God that allowed this. God didn't start the war. You started the war. God didn't start starvation. God didn't start the things in the world. It's up to you to put an end to it. But you will sit in the church and be complacent and not do what you're supposed to do and sit up and go to sleep? When you're supposed to be fighting, you're like David lounging around. It says in the cool of the day, he slept through the whole day. And then rise up and go outside. God has allowed a lot of us to retire. God has allowed a lot of us to not have jobs. There are so many women and men on entitlement programs, and a lot of them hadn't worked a day in their life. What are they doing for the nation? John F. Kennedy asked, not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. What are you doing for the country that have given you so much? How much have you given back to that country? If you believe in God and God died to save you, what are you doing to serve that God who shed his blood for you, whose body was pierced for you, who died on that cross for you? That's cruel to make those statements and don't realize the cruelty he went by the determinate counsel of God that he went through for you. We're cruel people. We're cruel people. We have to not be numbered in that number. I'll put the blood back on your hands. Let's put places where it is and not look at scripture and toss scripture around like it's just something in passivity and it don't apply to us. That's how the Pharisees did. They were responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus. Pilate was only the tool. The Roman government was the tool to allow this to come about because he had to die by crucifixion. That was a weapon in God's hand because the Jews, if the Jews would have handled him, they'd have did him like they did Stephen and stoned him to death. It wouldn't have been a fulfillment of promise of the prophecies. All these things were done so prophecy should be fulfilled. Not that the Romans don't have blood on their hands. Pilate couldn't wash the blood off his hand, but he knew Jesus wasn't guilty. Do you know that he's not guilty? Do you say to yourself that Jesus is not guilty? He shouldn't be up on that cross. That I should have been up on the cross and he died for me. Do you deny yourself and take up that cross and follow after him? Do you deny yourself and take up that cross after him, or do you cruelly walk away and let him bear all the burdens of himself? We should be bearing one another's burdens. We should be bearing the burden of that cross. He said, he that is heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. That's the only way you could come unto Jesus, is that you under that burden, that you under that cross, that you take his yoke, and that's his teaching. Let him teach you the war, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. You don't know how to war. And if so many preachers get off the beaten path by letting unconverted people come in the church. They're good financiers. They're good in all kinds of areas. A lot of them good musicians. They don't have the Spirit of God. That's why so much of your Christian music today, those are not dead people. Those are live people. I don't even listen to Christian music no more. Very seldom do I do. As a practice. Because it's all about gyrating the beat. Some of the most expensive music you can buy. You know, you're listening to those radio stations. It's nothing that's going to put you in a crucified mood. It's going to want to make you move in church. So many churches, there are more dancing, and it's unholy dancing. It keeps you alive. You brought it in the church. You've brought all these things in the church. You've profaned that which is holy. It's cruel what we're doing to God. We're just as cruel as the Ammonites, some of us. We see that God ultimately punished cruelty. Because it's taking pleasures, it's trying to inflict pain upon others. All of our shows is to inflict pain. I told you about that show Apprentice that I've heard of. Survival. All these things that inbreed that into you to inflict pain, to go against the how devious can you be? But they're listening at one of their lead preachers. Oprah said, well, she stopped believing in God when she said that you should pray this and about God being angry every day. But see, her God is a God of money. We started it with Phil Donahue, with Merv Griffin, Dick Cavett. It hadn't changed throughout the years. It's just metamorphosized. The preacher's been preaching these things for years, but they've been covering it and turning around because why? Satan's angels has been transformed into ministers of light. The churches are busting at the seams. Thousands of people. And even right here in the city, we have churches with thousands of people. But the crime rate is higher here. The age rate is higher here. This city is going through a division where they want to split the city in half. And you saying that all, with all these churches and everything, that the gospel is being preached? In some places it's halfway being preached. But it's that the people are not taking heed. They're not practicing the word of God. That's why Jesus in Revelation, he wrote to the seven churches and all of them that he was going to come back and fight against the church. He was going to come back and fight unless they change. And unless we change, God's going to fight against us. So don't come in here thinking that you all high and mighty and leave out all high and mighty. You come in and see your shortcomings. We come in and see, Lord, where is it that I can perfect myself in? I have nothing to glory in but the cross. Heavenly Fathers, we come before you this day, Lord God. Help us to walk in your word and in your way, Lord God, and do that which is pleasing to you, Lord God.